Okay, so I know Rabbi Akiva dealt with some of these issues, but I know he said he only got up to, stopped in the middle, so I just want to rehash. It's a very difficult shot for Vitaria. I guess we're going to be focusing on the Machlokes, Rav and Rabba, right, in the Gemara, in terms of whether the Ptur of Kimlei applies in the case where the Chet that's being stolen is still Be'en, in the case of Natan. We're going to basically go through the Shachar Vitaria and try to understand through the Rishonim what exactly is the Nekudas HaMachlokes, what exactly is that the center of this Machlokes. And just important to note at the onset, before we even go in, is that you sometimes have this where like the Gemara seems to be focusing on only one issue. And if you were to like characterize the issue in the Gemara, you would probably say it's the issue of Kinyan HaGzela. Right? What type of Kinyan, if at all, does a Gazlan make in an item which is still Be'en? As you learn the Sugya Be'in, you see in the Rishonim, beyond, meaning, besides for that one issue of it's like Kinyan Gzela, there's another important issue, and that is the issue of Kinla. And you're going to have to see what exactly, which of these issues are really at the center of the Machlokes. Are they arguing Bidinei in the ending of Kinyanim, or they really argue, or do they really agree in regards to the Kinyanim, but really they're arguing about the parameters of Kimla. When exactly does Kimla apply? So you can see that those are really the two issues, and we're going to have to see, according to different mafarshim, which of those two issues are really at the heart of this machlokes. So who wants to read for us, Avi? Starting with Amarav.
Sorry. Amarav, habam machteres v'natal kelim v'yatza patim. So if someone comes in through a tunnel and then he takes kelim and then he leaves, then he'd be patim. My time up, g'damim, meaning that since he risks his life, then he would be almost, in a way, chayav for mafasha. So therefore we'd say that he would also be patim from the
Kalim. Yeah, so what do we call that in halacha?
Kimla,
exactly. Basically, in short, Rav, it's very important to distinguish between those. Rav, it's hard when it sounds so similar. Rav applies Kimla even when the item is Be'en. Okay, that's all we know so far. Amar Rav,
I'm a stabber milsa derav kishashivar. So it's Mestaber say that Rav said his din when the Kimla broke into Lesno. Aval Natal love. But he would not be referring to the case of when he actually took the Kimla. Oh.
So in short, Rava limits Kimla to the case where it's not Be'en. Correct? Everyone agree so far? That's the simple part. Okay, so now the Gemara is going to discuss the fact that, meaning, Rav is pretty explicit. You know, you can qualify when someone leaves something vague, but if he says something explicit, it's hard to basically contradict what he said. So yeah, Gemara says,
Chalukim, it's like a lashon of a shvua. Amar Rav afilu natal, that Rav even said that it's referring to actually he took it.
So now the Gemara, right, so first textually we're saying, Rav even seemed to explicitly apply Kimla, even in the case of Be'en. But now the Gemara is going to now offer a svara for why Kimla would even apply in the case where it is Be'en.
Da'yish l'damen v'nen su'chayiv. But assuming that there was dumb in this case, meaning that he wouldn't be able to kill the person, v'nen su chayev, and there was an onus occurred that he'd be chayev, alma b'rishusei kaimi. So how can I be b'rishusei kaimi? Therefore, we should assume that it's referring to when the keli was actually in his rishus.
So take a little slow. Meaning, outside, what exactly is, let's say, the Gemara's justification of Rav? The Gemara is proving from the din. Basically, the din of chiv onsin, the fact that a ganav would be chayev for onsin, any onis that lightning hits the item, the gazlan would still be chayev, would still be responsible to pay that. So the Gemara is saying that indicates what?
It indicates that it's rishus.
Exactly. That in our terminology, the fact that the ganav would be responsible for onsin, at this stage of the Gemara, is a foolproof indicator that the ganav also has a kinyan in the chayev. So basically, the Gemara at this stage is saying, Rav makes sense, because even when it's Be'en, the Ganav has a full Kinyan, and once it's his, right, we learn from the realm of Onsen that indicates that there's a full-fledged Kinyan in the object, and once there's a Kinyan in the object, therefore, Kimle should apply. And, right, and the idea is, meaning, we'll get back to this, what exactly, I mean, why should Kimle level. Why should Kimla depend on whether there's a Kinyan or not?
Meaning if there's a Kinyan that's considered his, therefore he would be chayav for Hashavar, right?
Correct. In other words, that when the Ganav has a Kinyan in the object, so then his Chiyav Mamon is a Chiyav, we call a Chiyav Tashlumin. He has to now pay out of his own pocket. And we'll get back to this assumption in a moment, but the Gemara seems to be assuming at the moment that the Kimlai only applies, or Kimlai, Echia Misa is only Poter Echia Mamon, when that Echia Mamon manifests itself as Echia Tashlumin, meaning that the Ganav, the person, has to pay out of his own pocket. But if it's just returning a pikadon, the object that really belongs to the other person, that type of chiyav mamon is not subject to kim. That's what the Gemara seems to be assuming at the moment. So now the Gemara rejects the proof. Continuing on.
That the Torah only put this Kaylee or whatever object he took, or in his rishos, only in regard to onset, meaning that he'd have a chiyuv to pay back for tashlum. And aval inyan nikne birushuse demayrehu kanyan, meaning that if in regards to kinyan, it still belongs to the original owner.
Exactly.
Need to have a shol, similar to the case of a shol.
Where you have a chiyuv onsen, despite the lack of ownership. Fine. Okay, so here's the shach v'tarya. We now really have to take a step back. So right, it's clear the machokes Rav and Rava, but whether you apply Kimlei in the case of Be'ed. As we pointed out before, there are two issues at hand. The one issue is Kinyane Gzela, and the second issue is Kimlei. And the big issue in the sugya is which one is at the center of machokes. So you want to see that there are two general approaches here in terms of which issue is really at the heart of machokes. So the first approach, which seems to be the more pashpashat in the Gemara, is that the center, or the Nekudas HaMachlokes, relates to the realm of Kinyane Gzeila. That's really the Machlokes. And according to this first approach, everyone agrees, as we said before, that in regards to Kimlei, that Kimlei only applies, right, the Achiyav Misa will only be Poter Achiyav Mamon, the type of Achiyav Mamon which manifests itself as Achiyav Tashlum. Which we'll see, which is defined as a case where the person has to take money out of his own pocket to pay the other person. Right? The idea of Kimlei, right? The idea being, that Kimlei is that when you chayav two onshin, we only implement the more chamor onish. So it could be that if Kimlei is only going to apply when we view both as onshin. So it could be that the only chiyav mamon, which is considered an onish, is when you have to pay out of your own pocket. If you're just returning the item which belongs to the other person, that's not an onish. You're just giving back a pikadon. That's not an onish. So according to this first approach, that the machlokes is really relating to the realm of kinyanim, everyone agrees that in the realm of kimlei, the kimlei only applies to a chiyav tashlumim, meaning only a chiyav tashlumim has the gedra of an onish where you have to pay out of your own pocket. Right? Again, just giving back, just returning that which belongs to the other person is not in the gedra of an onish to be subject to kimlei. So everyone agrees, according to this first approach, to the parameters of Kimlei. So then what exactly then is the Machlokes in regards to the realm of Kinyanim? So here, we have now two approaches, 1A and 1B, right? Two approaches within this first general approach that the Machlokes relates to the realm of Kinyanim as to what exactly is their Machlokes. So we'll call 1A, the first approach, is that, and which seems to be the Pashut Shalim Gemara, is that the Machlokes is on the, right, is on the level of Midaraisa. The machlokes is whether the ganav is kone the chifetz be'en midaraisa, and the way it would play out is as follows, right? Rav, I mean, again, remember, everyone agrees that kimlei only applies when it's a chiyav tashlum. Right. So according to this, Rav, and we'll go through the mufarshim in a moment, just outside. So Rav, who applies kimlei in the case of be'en, would have to hold that midaraisa, the ganav was kone the item, even though it was banned, and therefore, since there's a chiyav tashlumin, once he's cornered the item, now he only has a chiyav tashlumin, he has a chiyav to pay the cash out of his own pocket, therefore Rav applies kimlei. But Rabba is going to argue according to this approach. He said, no, midoraisa, I disagree with you. The midoraisa, a ganav, is not kone a chifet, which is be'en. And since, according to this approach, if he's not kone the chifet, which is be'en, the chiyav mamon is not a chiyav tashlumin. It's just a chiyav of achzaras ha-pikaldam, of just returning the pikaldam, in which case, kimlei is not going to apply, because we pointed out before, everyone agrees, according to this approach, that kimlei only applies to a chiyav tashlumin. So now let's just see the mefarshim, who understand the machlok is in this manner.
We should put to them, this is a pikaldam and a gazela, because we're going to get to that.
Exactly. We'll get to Rashi in just a moment. Rashi definitely agrees with this approach. So the first makor for this, first you go with Rav, and then it goes in Rava. So in terms of the following Mefarshim, understand Rav as holding that the reason why Kimlei applies is because there is a Midaraisa, there's a Kinyan, the Ganav is Koneh, the Chevetz Ben. So as we pointed out, this seems to be the Pashat Pshat in the Gemara. As we pointed out before, as Avi just read, when the Gemara says, "Valokim Amar Rav Afilu Nata," what's the svar that it gives? It says from the fact that it's a Chiv Onsin, that is an indicator that Alma Birshu Sekaimi, that's a proof that the Ganav has a full Kinyan. Therefore, Hachanami Birshu Sekaimi. So therefore, the Pashat Pshat at this point in the Gemara is that the basis of Rav's application of Kimlei is because there's a full Kinyan. And if you just look at Rashi, this is exactly what Rashi seems to be focusing on. Avi, just in start the mitzvah and finish it. You see Rashi, Dima Maskla Belokim?
Okay, Shvua, meaning that it's a Lashon for Shvua. So Amar Rav the Pater, Vafilu Isnu Taima Mehacha, Dahai Yim Yesh Lutam, and could go in Av Al Haben, Moda Buhu Rav to Lokona, meaning in the case where there would be Dhammans, such as a father son relationship, that Rav would be Moda, that he would not be Kona, Vachai Lahafsir after Kain. And therefore, we'd be chayav to return it afterwards.
In such a case, Amrinan.
So Amrinan, dafilu nen suminei mishabol rushusei chayav lahasir demehan, that he'd be chayav to return back in money.
Right. So the fact is, zechiv owns him. That shows Alma.
So Alma lo Amrinan pikadon habi gabei ba'avdu b'paylam el Amrinan birushusei hein. Therefore, we do not say that. We do not say this is considered like a bikadim ayim.
But that really it belongs to the exile, to the
really,
original owner.
Really would still be considered birshuso of the, I guess, the original of the bal.
And we don't say that. I mean, basically he was trying to say that, Rashi is trying to explain why ones is a good litmus test of who owns it. Because the point is, in the case of ones, by definition, no one's responsible for it. So the only person who's going to incur a loss because of ones is the person whose rishus it's in. And whoever owns it incurs the loss. So we're saying, if it really belonged to the original owner, so then the ganav wouldn't be chayev because basically it was lost to the owner. The fact that we're mechayev the ganav, that proves that right el amrinan birshu sohein va'avdulo, that it was lost to him. So is it ones, because no one's responsible for it, becomes a good, listen, this stage of the Gemara, becomes a good litmus test of who is the rightful owner. So hachanami, once we see that in the realm of the onsin, that the ganav is the owner. Therefore, Hachanami
le'inyan ein lo damim. So too, in comparison to where he's able to kill him, where
they
have this relationship of father son. Afal pi de isnu amrinan lav bikadoninu ela berushuso viachruso kaini. Therefore, we would say that it would be considered as if it was in his rishos,
in the ganav's
rishos.
Exactly.
So v'chi gabu lehu.
Oh, that's the key line, right? According to Rashi, everything's about the tashlumin. Ever since, right, if they were to collect it from him, I mean, because the ganav owns it, so therefore, if they were to collect it from him, that would be a tashlumin paying from his own pocket because it belongs to him. There, exactly. It would be a tashlumin alongside the chiyav nisa, ki ilu govin mishar nechasim, as if you're collecting from the cash that's in his pocket. So basically, it's clear that Rashi understands the basis of Rav is this idea that he is a Kinyan Gamor, and since he's a Kinyan, therefore it's the Chiyav Mamon would be together Tashlumim, and therefore we'd apply Kimlei. Right, the problem, not the problem, but from this Gemara alone and Rashi, you don't know what applies Lamaskana. Right? Because we know from the Lowi that we read before, the Gemara in the next stage rejects this Raya and says the fact that it's a Chiyav Onsin, because a Chiyav Onsin is no longer a good litmus test for ownership in the maskana. So the question then becomes, you don't know the maskana, what is the basis of Rav? Right? It was clear in the Halamina of the basis of Rav was the fact that it was a full-fledged Kinyan. You don't know, once the Gemara rejects the litmus test of Onsen, what holds the maskana as well. The Chidush...
You can't say that Rav is the only person who disagrees with the...
That's exactly the issue. Yeah, that's the issue. The question is, was that line Velohi, was that just Rava talking? And Rav disagrees with that disproof? Or no, is that Velohi really the Kuleyama? That even Rav agrees with that assessment, that Chi of Onsen is not an indicator of Bilus, and therefore, you could have said, therefore he has to have another reason. That's where the Machlokes Rishonim comes in, trying to understand what is, you know, the stage after the maskana. What is the basis of Rav, the maskana, after the initial havmina is rejected. So the Chiddush HaRan, exactly like Moshe just said, understands Rav, even the maskana, as being based on a full Kinyan Mamon. And according to the Chiddush HaRan, he basically says, I was discussing with some guys in Seder, Shmuel and Avi, that according to the Ran, again, if you look at the Ran, I think everyone did it, learned it inside, it's clear from the Ran that he always explains the machokas between Rav and Rava about whether there is a Kinyan. The Rav holds the God of is Kona, even the Chavetz Ben, and Rava disagrees that there's no Kinyan. But again, the basis of Rav, the entire time, according to Chiddush HaRan, is all about this Kinyan. So how does he account for the Chiv Onsin idea? And basically, just add one other factor, is that what Rashi, in support of the Maskana, I mean, basically puts into the Gemara, the reason why the Maskana, the Chi of Onsen, is no longer a good indicator, because Rashi points out that the fact that the Ganav doesn't have the right to keep the Chavetz Be'en, the fact that he has to return the Chavetz Be'en, the Maskana cites that as the Raya that he doesn't own it. Right? The Gemara in the Maskana is saying, forget Onsen. Onsen is a different din. That's not an indicator of Bailus. But I'll tell you, is a better indicator of Bailus. The fact that the Goslin has to return the object, that proves that he's not the owner. But so the Chiddush HaRan counters that and says, a little complicated, and says that really the Ganav does have a kinyan, and it's just that he's a, we'll call it a mitzvah's kinyan. He doesn't use these terms, but he's a mitzvah's kinyan. To say that the Ran thinks that the Ganav has a kinyan in the realm of, what's we'll call it, in the realm of Kinlay, for the purposes of Arsuya, we do treat him as having a Kinyan. And, but why, if he has a Kinyan, why does he then have to return the object? Why can't he pay the Damim if he so chooses? The Ran says, it's a Mixas Kinyan. He doesn't, he has a Kinyan Le'inyan Kimlay, but he doesn't have a Kinyan Le'inyan Hachzar's Damim. That's the way they run. He doesn't really expound on what exactly that means. I mean, he doesn't even say the terms mixes Kinyan, but it becomes clear. He first says that he does have a Kinyan, and then he says, oh, but in terms of returning the Dhammim, he clearly doesn't have a Kinyan. So what comes out of the run is that he thinks there's a mixes Kinyan here. And that's the way he basically, on the one hand, holds that there is a Kinyan, but yet explains why the Ganav can't choose to keep the object itself. But a third shita within this general approach, as I told you to see, the Margolios Hayam quotes the Tshuva of the Mishpat Kohen, right, in Os Yubez, where he takes this general approach, again, where he says that the basis of Rav is that the Ganav was Kona. But again, how does he explain, again, if the Ganav is Kona, everyone has to explain, why can't he now keep the Chavetz Be'en, why does he have to return it? So instead of saying this Mixas Kinyan idea of the Ran, which is very hard to understand what exactly that Mixas Kinyan is and where do you draw the line, Mishpat Kohen develops that really it's a Kinyan Gamor. The Ganav is a Kinyan Gamor, but why does he have to return the object? He says it's a Mitzvah Saseh Veheshvesa Gzela Asher Gazal, Ke'in Shagazal. Rabbi Basil says the only reason why the Ganav has to return the object, because there's a mitzvah saseh, which says that a Ganav has to return the object as long as it's intact. So again, it's very clear in Lashonis here, the Mishpat Kohen is taking this approach that, and explicates the Kimlay side of things, that really Kimlay, since Kimlay only works as a Petur Tashlumen, it could, the only way to understand Rav is by saying that Rav thinks that the Ganav is Kone, and then once he's Kone, how do you explain the Chiyav to give back the object itself? That's a separate mitzvah saseh of Heshev as Akzeel.
This is Rav Lemaskana.
This is, exactly, it is Rav Lemaskana. Exactly. This is basically the Chiddush HaRan and the Mishpat Kohen are both saying that the Havamina's conception of Rav even holds Lemaskana. And they basically both give different explanations as to why the fact that the Ganav has to return the object Be'en, why it can still basically align with the fact that he's still has a Kinyan Gamma. Again, that's all really approach 1A, that really the machlokes at hand is all about in the realm of kinyanim. According to 1A, the machlokes is really in the realm of daraisa, whereby, as we just explained, Rav clearly holds that the ganav has a kinyan midaraisa. Now we're about to now transition to Rabba, where according to this approach 1A, Rabba disagrees midaraisa, that the ganav does not have a kinyan on a chifetz be'en, according to this shita of Rabba. So where do you have this? This is the seems to be the Pasha Pshat in the Gemara, and this is the way Rashi understands, right? If you look back in the Gemara, where the Gemara rejects Rav's explanation with the Balavi, just read it one more time, but it seems to be clear that the Pasha Pshat of this Gemara is that the basis of Rabbah, thereby the rejection of Rav's Svara, is that really, according to Rabbah, there is the Ganav does not have a Kinyan Midaraisa on the object. Go for it one more time,
Below he, really it's not that he would be considered a full Kenyan, as Bereshu say.
Exactly.
But ki ukmina rachmana Bereshu say, leading onsen, it's only considered in his Rishos, only in regard to be having chiyuv on onsen. Leading makna Bereshu say demaraihu kaimi, meaning only in regard, but in regard to a full Kenyan, it would still be considered in the original owner's.
Exactly. We did have a show, just like you have by show, yeah, where you have the concept of someone being chayv and onsin despite the lack of real full ownership. And if you look at Rashi, Rashi on the spot is very clear. Again, if you just look at it quickly, Mistabra, Rashi, this is earlier than that. Okay.
Mistabra milsa derabra pater, vishashabra, bin asha, bin lacher's man.
So we'll get back to that. That's another issue in terms of the timing. But what's his explanation of why the kimle is limited to the case where it's no longer ban? So right, but right, according to Rashi, again, aligning with this general approach to kimle, the kimle only applies when there's a tashlum. And therefore, it's only going to apply when the ganav has a kinyan. Aval natal lo, in the case
of natal lo, mistabra b'hamilsa derav.
It's a continuation. Lo mistabra b'hamilsa derav pater. It doesn't make sense that he would be poter.
Dekeva dekaima dekaniyan him kol hecha deisnu demayrinin hu. So whenever it was, I guess, where was ben or
exactly, yeah, wherever it is ben, it belongs to its owner, original owner.
The ain zeh chayv b'tashlum to be called the ba'al manenu gabe. It's not chayv. It's just like a pikadon. You would be chayv.
Exactly. So again, Rashi again is understanding the machlokes now within Rabbah, that the reason why Rabbah doesn't apply kimle to the case of ben is because there is no kinyan. Once there's no kinyan, then the chiyav mamon is just hachzaras pikadon, which is not subject to kimle, because according to this approach, the only cases which are subject to kimle are chiyuve tashlum.
So we said the run for the run. He says it's a kinyan deraisa, and then we just said it's a derabanan chordin iskar.
No, we didn't get to that approach yet. So far, we just explained that according to 1a, it's a machlokes midaraisa, whereby Rav thinks it's a kinyan midaraisa, and Rava argues midaraisa that there is no kinyan. This is the approach that Rashi seems to be taking, and the Kovet Shirim that we printed out also seems to explicitly explain Rabbah in terms of basically arguing midaraisa that there is no kinyan even midaraisa, and therefore kimle doesn't apply because kimle is limited to geza tashlum. We're gonna get to the Rabbanan next.
Why is one saying that there's a kinyan deraisa and that one saying it's not?
Oh, means that's a machlokes.
For what reason?
Yeah, that's a machlokes in terms of the issue of onsen. Meaning, that's to give you a border, so I'm not going to get to the details of that. Now, in terms of in the realm of kinyane gezela, the question is basically, a gazlan has basically different dinim, which seem to point in different directions. On the one hand, it's a chiyav onsen, which in a vacuum implies that he has full bialos. But again, he also chiyav to return the object, which implies that it doesn't have bialos. So the question is basically, which one do you see as like the exception and which one do you see the rule? Do you say, oh, chiyav onsen is the true indicator, and really the fact that you have to return the object, that's a side point, that's a din of, you know, patience exhala? Or you say, no, really the rule is the fact that you have to return the object, because it really does, that's a true indicator that there's no bialos. And oh, why is there chiyav onsen? Chiyav onsen can, you know, you see by Shaul that a chiyav onsen is not always an indicator of bialos. So according to this first approach, 1a, the machlokes between Rav and Rabbah is machlokes within the realm of kinyan gzela in terms of what type of kinyan, if at all, a gazlan has on a chifetz be'en. So now 1b, again still within this first general approach of the machlokes between Rav and Rava, is within the realm of kinyan gzela, but in contrast to 1a, which thought that the machlokes was midal raisa, whether or not there was a kinyan, 1b thinks that everyone agrees midal raisa that there is a kinyan. So according to this approach, even Rava agrees to the conception that we were ascribing to before, specifically to Rav. That everyone, both Rav and Rava, both agree that midal raisa Diganav is Kone, even a Chifetz Be'en. So now the question is, so if everyone agrees that there's a kin, so then the Chiyav Mamon is in the realm of Tashlumin, so why wouldn't there be a Kimle? Why does Rabbah, according to this approach, not issue a Petura of Kimle, and why does he think there's a Chiyav to give back the item? So according to this approach of 1b, that Chiyav, as you were referring to before, is just a Chiyav Midrabbah. The idea is that although Midoraisa Kimle should apply, because really there was a Chiyav, there was a Kinyan Gamor right away, therefore there's a Chiyav Tashlumin, which should therefore be subject to Kimle, according to the following Rishonim, Rabbah only is Mechayev the Gazan to give back the object as a Chiyav Drabbanon. Some will see explain as like a Chotei Nischer idea that you have the guy's vaz there. We're not going to just allow you to keep it, because then that will encourage people, I like your vaz, so I'm just going to take your vaz and then pay you for it. No. We say, as long as it's there, we're going to make you return it, be'en, even in this case of Kimla. So if you look just really quickly, who's the big shita quoted by the Chiddush Ran who says this? Who says that the Rabbah, the basis of Rabbah is only Mizrabanan? Balamor, exactly. So the Balamor explicitly says, just to read it inside, his line is the Afagav Dechiya Sneyu Be'inayu Haju. Even though Rabbah is Mechayev, the person to return the object, Chumra Ba'almu, the Rami Rabbanan Alei. It's just a Chumra Ba'alma. Alright, and this is the Balamor. There's also the Shita Yeshana, quoted by the Shita Mikabetas in Ksubis, also says this idea that it's only Rabbanan. And the Shita Mikabetas actually quotes the Lashon of Shloye Chote Nischar. Again, this is Ksubis, Lamadala, and Mabez, the same sugya, which should be discussed with Rekiva, about in terms of when the Shira took place before and after. So the Shita Mikbetza says it as well. And so again, the simple understanding of both the Baal Amor and the Shita Yeshana is that exactly what we're saying right now. That really Kimle only applies to Chiyuvei Tashlumin, and really Rabba Midaraisa thinks that Kimle should apply in this case because there he thinks that Midaraisa there is a Kinyan Gamor.
So according to Rabba, this is Rachel Dunn. You could say that he's just giving back the object he stole.
No, in all cases where there's no, I mean, everyone's going to agree that in the Stam case, where they're meaning that you're going to have to return the object itself. The Chiddush of these Rishonim is that even when, I mean, this Chumr Midrabanan basically overrides Kimle. And even though Kimle should apply in the case of Enol Damim, we still are going to Mechayev you conditionally Chote Nisra.
Only Kimle would the Kimle override the fact that he's holding on to the object.
Exactly. But generally, you know, if there's no Kimle, then of course, whenever you steal, of course you have to get back.
So you need to give it back.
Only time you have to come on to Lo Yei Chote Nischar is in this case where you should be Pater Midin Kimle. So then the Rabbanan have to say, although Midaraisa there's a pure Kimle, still Lo Yei Chote Nischar, we are Mechayev you to return.
That's still question because Rabbah would have said that explicitly in Mara.
No, but they're talking about, meaning they're only talking about the case of Kimle. They're only arguing in the case of Kimle. Everyone agrees that for Yeshua Damin, when there's no Kimle, that of course you're hired to give back the object.
According to this approach.
Yeah, I think according to every approach, that's the denotation of the deal. And just one other Shita who holds of this idea that the basis of Rabba is Midrabanam, is that Tshuva Sarashba, which I told you guys to see, and we'll get back to that soon, where the Rashba also thinks, again, because of his unique Shita of Kinyan, we'll get back to that, where he thinks that Midaraisa, again, while the Baal Mor and Shita Yeshana think that the reason why Kimle should apply Midaraisa is because there's a Kinyan, and there's a Kinyan Midine, Kinyan Egzela, and therefore there's a Chiyav Tashlumin, and therefore Kimle should apply, the Rash becomes it to a different angle. He thinks that the Kinyan is generated by the Kimle itself. And since Kimle, we'll get back to this, since Kimle, according to the Rashba, generates a Kinyan, therefore the Kimle itself should even apply in the case of Be'en. Therefore he explains Rabbah also that the reason why Rabbah rejects Kimle is not Midaraisa, but only Midrabanan based on Lo Yei Chote Nischar. But we'll get back to the Rashba. Okay, so Ad Kan basically discussed the general first approach in the Sugya, which is that the Machokis between Rav and Rava is all in the realm of Kinyan Egzela. Everyone agrees in the realm of Kimle. The Machok is only in the realm of Kinyan Egzela. Right? Approach 1a was that there Machok is Midaraisa, whether or not there was a Kinyan. So therefore, Machok is whether Kimle should apply midoraisa or not. And 1B, the second approach, is that everyone agrees that midoraisa kimle should apply. And the only machok is whether the Rabbanan basically instituted a takana of shalotehe chote nischa. Okay. So now moving on to approach number two, which basically thinks that although the Gemara, again, seems to be focusing, the back and forth seems to be focusing on Pinyan Gzela, it's going to say that the really limaskana, that whole analysis is rejected. But really, the machokis, really the basis of Rav, is that he has a different conception of Kimle. I'll spell it out right now. Right, up until now, we've been assuming that Kimle only applies to a chiv tashlum, right? Only when the person has to pay out of his own pocket. And therefore, the only time Kimle would apply is if there's a kinyan. According to this new approach, the second approach, that assumption regarding Kimle is going to be challenged. We'll get to that within Rav. So just first dealing with Rabba. So again, Rabba holds of that. Right, Rava, who it's Rava who limits the Kimle and the Gemara to the case where it's not Be'en, agrees to everything we were saying before. Right? He agrees that there is no kin. Again, everyone according to this approach agrees. Take that out. Everyone according to the second approach, right? The machlokes according to the second approach is within the realm of kinyan. But everyone according to this approach agrees that in the realm of kinyan gzeila, that limaskana, that a ganav is not kone a chetetz pe'en. So very clear. In the realm of, according to the second approach, everyone agrees limaskana, based on the v'loi, that a ganav is not kone the chetetz pe'en. And then the machlokes pertains to kinyan. So Rava holds exactly like we were saying before. That's Rabba holds that Kimle, since Kimle only applies to Chiyuvei Tashlumin, so therefore Rabba holds that since this case, everyone agrees that, Rabba is saying, that since we agree that there is no, the Ganav is not Kona, therefore since there's no Kinyan, therefore it's just Hachzar HaPikadon, there's no Chiyuvei Tashlumin, and therefore Kimle doesn't apply, like we've been saying up until now. So Rabba is very easy to understand. Again, since there is no Kinyan, there's no Kimle, because Kimle only applies to Chiyuvei Tashlumin. But the Shita we have to now understand is the Shita of Rav. And the question is, why would you apply Kimle, why would Rav apply Kimle in the case of Be'en, if Rav agrees that there is no Kinyan, and that therefore that there's no Chiyuvei Tashlumin? Right, everyone with me? Right, according to Rav, who applies Kimle, even though it's Be'en, and according to this approach, even though he agrees that in the case where it's Be'en, that there is no Kinyan. So the Ganav is not Kone, so he's just giving back a Pikadon. So if he's just giving back a Pikadon, so why would Kimle apply to be Poter here, Poter, the Ganav from just giving back the Pikadon, which belongs to the Nigza? Right, everyone understands the question?
Yeah, but why can you do this, say the Havmina Maskana type of answer?
We're trying to understand Rav Limaskana. And in Rav meaning, we're trying to understand how Rav can even agree Limaskana that there is no kinyan. And the Havamina, Rav was based on there being a kinyan. And therefore there was a Chiyuvei Tashlumin. We're trying to now understand that we're going to see that there are some Mefarshim who say that Rav Limaskana basically agrees with the rejection of Lohi. He says, you're right. A Chiyuv Onsin is not an indicator of Bailos. But yet I, Rav, apply Kimle even in the case where it's just a Pikadon. So in order to understand that, you have to reassess the parameters of Kimle.
And before that, we tried saying that Rava actually holds that there is a Kinyan, and I would try to say the opposite of Rava.
Exactly. That's a good way of saying it. Right, before, within 1B, we were saying that even Rava agrees to Rav, that Midaraisa, there is a Kinyan. So now we're saying, according to this second approach, that even Rav, perfect point, even Rav agrees to Rava that there is no Kinyan, but yet Rav applies Kimle. We're going to see now two approaches within the second approach, again, 2A and 2B, in terms of what is this new conception of Kimle which allows it to apply, according to Rav, even in the case of a Pikadon. So what we'll call 2A is that, which is most clearly explicated by the Chasam Sofer that we gave out, is that Kimle is not limited to Chiyuvei Tashlumin. It even applies to returning a pikadon, right? Even though, according to 2a, kimlei is just a patur, because in contrast to 2b, the Rashba, where it's a kinyan, we're still within the realm of patur. But according to the Chasam Sofer, and we'll see the Kovet Shiurim, the patur of kimlei is not limited only to a tashlum, to patur a person for paying his own pocket, but it even patur's a person from returning that which belongs to the other guy. What's the idea there? So the Chasam Sofer develops that the yisod of kimlei is the idea of Beis Din not being able to implement any retribution on the part of the person who's chayav misa. So says the Chasam Sofer, since this guy is chayav misa, if the Beis Din would go to this guy and say, oh, we're hereby forcing you to return the pikadon, according to the Chasam Sofer, that itself is a problem of kimlei. Because the way he basically, we see this inside, if you guys see the Chasam Sofer, the key line starts with af al gav. Let's see where it is on your sheet. It's important to see this inside. The Chasam Sofer is the last one. Let's see, where's the key line? Yeah, you see the end of the first line? You see, af al gav di lo hava chiyav misa, haya mechuyav lahachzer hageneva be'en, di lo kanu. I think it's a little mistake. They say, even though the Chasam Sofer agrees with what we're saying, that there's the ganav is not kone, again, take it slow. Afagav di ilo havachayev misa. If there was no kimlei, the ganav would be mechuyev lahachzer hageneva be'en. He'd have a chiyev to return the object intact. Dilo kanu, because there's no kinyan. Elo b'rishus, it's just in his rishus. So the question is again, why would you apply kimlei? Mikol makom, nevertheless, kevan derachmana ukme b'rishus, since the Torah sets it in his physical rishus, iha bezin motzio miyado, if the bezin would come along and basically try to take it away from him, havalei kibbez rishayos, basically he's picking up on the makor, one of the makoros for kimlei, is that risha achas ata mechayva, basically the bezin can only be mechayev a person for one onish. So if he's pointing out that this case is sufficiently considered two onshin from the perspective of Beis Din. So again, even though it's not a tashlumim in the sense that the person is paying out of his own pocket, even though he's just returning, that which belongs to the other person, but according to the Chasam Sofer, kimlei is not limited to chiyuvei tashlumim like we thought in the first approach. Kimlei even extends to such a case whenever Beis Din would have to force a guy to give something up. And that's why, according to the Chasam Sofer, kimlei is going to apply, according to Rav, even though there is no kinyan. And with this understanding, Chasam Sofer points, again, we didn't do this, I think Rav Akiva is going to deal with this, but if you look at the bottom Tosos on our Amud, Ayin Beis, Tosos basically assumes in our sugya that in the case of Bav Machteres, that there is still a chiyah of Bidei Shemai. That even though we can't force this Bav Machteres to pay the money, but there is still a chiyah of Bidei Shemai for him to pay. So Chasam Sofer says, according to his approach, he totally understands it. Since it's all about Beis Din not being able to force him to do it, it's just a din in Beis Din. But he himself, as long as Beis Din is not forcing him, he himself can go along and really should go along and pay up the money. So again, because of the Chasam Sofer is understanding kimlei and the extension to this case as being a din in Beis Din and Beis Rishayos, therefore, Lishitaso, he thinks that there's going to be a chiyah b'dei shemayim. We'll see the contrast to the Rashba in just
a moment. Is even the Virav.
Is even the
Virav. And Rav will completely disagree with this, because according to Rav, he doesn't.
No, according to Rav, there's no kimlei at all.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And if you get. Yeah, sorry. Viva?
Why does he say. Kevin the Rachmana? Well, maybe we should say, if anything, that's
just
the opposite of what he's saying. Saying it's not that the Torah put it in just as that it's physically in just the Beis Din has to take it.
Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure I was referring to kimlei there. It's a little circular then. Yeah, I'm not sure. That's a good question. It sounds like because it's physically in his rishus, in order for Beis Din to be motzi, that yes, I'm not sure why the Chasam Sofer focuses on the Torah putting in his rishus. Yeah, that's a good question. I'm not sure. You call me, because I did translate that as it being physically. So yeah, you're right. That doesn't work out so well with his lashon. Again, the general analysis, I think, holds. It's just that I'm not sure why he uses the term Rachmana there 100%. And again, if you look at the Kovet Shirim that we printed out, and also the way the Kovet Shirim seems to be, again, this is implicit because he's really referring to Rava Shita, but when the Kovet Shirim is discussing the machlokes between Rava and Rav, he seems to be focusing on the chiddush of Rava is that Kimle only applies to Chivei Tashlum. The implication is Rav, who extends it even to the case where there's no Kinyan, is holding that it extends beyond the cases of Chivei Tashlumim, even in such a case like the Chassam Sofer, where it's just the problem of Beis Din implementing. So again, within 2a, that we hold it's Gadin and Beis Din, both the Chassam Sofer and the Kovet Shirim, by implication, seem to be holding that the way to explain Rav is that despite the lack of a Kinyan, Kimle will still apply, because Kimle prevents Beis Din from implementing any time, any type of returning of Mamon, even if it's just a Hachzaras HaPikadon. The last approach we'll deal with is the approach of the Rashba. This is 2b. Again, within the second approach, this is holding that Rav agrees there is no Kinyan, Midine Kinyan Gzela. Right, from the perspective of a Kinyan Gzela, a Ganav does not make a Kinyan on the object itself, but yet, Kimle is going to apply. And this is going to be the Rashba's very important sheet, though. Try it, get us inside. The Rashba's very famous Shita, where he says that basically up until now we've been assuming that a kinle is a patur. Right? It's a patur. Either it patters you from a tashlumim, or patters you from giving something back. But that's everyone's been understanding kinle as a patur. If you're chayav misa and you're chayav mamon, you're patur from the mamon. That's all. The Rashba has a very mechudash Shita. He's actually coming from our sugya. That he says, if you look very closely at the opening line of the Sugya of Amar Rav, that Abi read, right, when Rav applied Kimle to the case of Natal Kalim, the Gemara asks, "My Taima," and the Gemara says, "Bedamim Kaninu." Right, so we lost over at the time. It says, "Well, that's basically like a way of saying Kimle Bedramine." But the Rashba says, "No, that's very meduyuk. That with his dam, he was Kone the object." And basically, based on this line, the Rashba basically develops that the Kimle, at least of the Misa variety, again, this is a larger topic, that there are different types of Kimle. Right? The Kimle that we've been dealing with in our Sugya is the Kimle of Misa and Mamon. There are other Kimles, the alternative classic Kimle is, let's say, Malkus and Mamon. So according to Rashba, he's going to be Michalik between those two different types of Kimles. Right, and focusing now on the Kimle of Misa and Mamon, the Rashba says he infers from this Lashon of Bedamin Kaninhu to say that Kimle is not just a Petur Mamon, it actually grants the person who's Mischai, who's Chai of Misa, a Kinyan in the Mamon at stake. So if according to the Rashba, even though Midine Gzela, right, as a Ganav he's not Kona the object, but because he thinks that Kimle grants the person who's Mischayev Nisa a Kinyan in the Mamon, so therefore he says Rav Shita is very Mistaber. Because once you view Kimle as granting the person a Kinyan, so it's going to give you a Kinyan in whatever object it is. The only problem with, you know, with Rav is the fact that, oh, you don't have a Kinyan Gzela on the Chetetz Be'en. But once you think that Kimle grants you a Kinyan, so therefore Kimle is going to work in all cases. So that's the way the Rashba develops. And explains that's why, according to him, Rav Shita is easier to understand than even Rava Shita. So you look at the, it's a long tshuva, you guys have it in front of you. At least just look at the last lines. You see four lines from the bottom, Mai Taima. You want that? Yura, you want to go for it?
Yeah. My time up. So, what's the reason that he is
Kimle applies?
Oh, yeah, starting from new.
Is this in the context of Rav? Why does Kimle apply him in this case?
Right. The Damek. And anyway, he's going over the Damek. The Lochash. Vinan, like. Kmazak Mamon Kavira. Therefore, when he breaks it, it's not considered like he's Mazak, the other guy's thing. Alak mazik mamon, it's like he's being mazik his own stuff because he owns it.
Exactly. So that's the key line. Again, the first line, That's just a lashon gemar, but quoting bedam kininu, that you can't really be dying. But it's very clear that he says that what does bedam kininu do? The result of that is that it becomes your mamon. Now the chifetz belongs to you. Therefore, Hilkach, now as he explained Rav, Hilkach, afilu natal kelam nami, even in Rav's case, where it's be'en, the demei kininu, what does that mean according to the Rashba? Bididei ninu, basically, bidamim kininu, literally means that kinle grants the person who's the Baal Machteres opinion in the object. And therefore, according to Rav Shita makes perfect sense. Once Kimle is generating a kinyan, then of course it should even apply to the case of the end. And there,
the result of a kinyan
gzela. Well, exactly. It doesn't have to be a result of a kinyan gzela because the Kimle gives you that. And now, sometimes that happens, when you work so hard to explain what's like a shita like Rav, now you're stuck. What about Rav? So you could have said, oh, maybe the Rash plus whole Yisod is only within Rav. But he doesn't want to say that because we pass him like Rava. And since he likes this Yisod so much, he wants to say, even Rava must agree to this Yisod as well. So therefore he says, this is where I quoted earlier, so Rava is based on Chotein Yischar, Midrabanan. So again, it's coming back to that earlier Shita within Rava, but from a different angle. Like earlier it was coming from the angle of, as the Balamor was presumably coming from the angle, oh, because it's the Kinyan, Since Rava agrees to Kinyan, therefore it's Tashun, and that's why Kimle applies Midaraisa. The Rashi is coming in from a different angle, that because Kimle is a Kinyan, so therefore, and according to Rashi, everyone agrees to that Yisod, so therefore, everyone should agree to Rav Shita. No, Rava is just based on a separate Din Durabana. Fine. So just two last Ha'aros, I guess we're running fast, maybe a little early. We'll take questions in a moment. So actually, the Margoliyos Hayam, in the next piece, I told you to see Os Yud Beis, the next piece is Os Yud Gimel, he quotes a tshuva of the Shoal Nation, which basically says that this whole yisod of the Rashba, this idea of bedamim kininu, that the Kimle grants the person who's chayiv nisa a kinyan in the object, he says perhaps the Rashba's yisod is limited to the context of the Rashba, limited to the context of Baal Machteres. In contrast, I mean, to the Chiyad Misa of Baal Machteres, but wouldn't even apply to a Chiyad Misa of Shabbos, for instance. Right? The other classic case of Chiyad Misa where, you know, on Shabbos, like in the cases of... What? Exactly, the cases where you're Chayiv Gneva, let's say, and Shabbos, Hotzah, at the same time. That's another example of Kimle stemming from a Chiyad Misa, but again, instead of the Chiyad Misa being Baal Machteres, the Chiyad Misa is Shabbos. But he points out, coming off of a Gemara and Ksubas Hamdalam base, as you guys saw, that there's a big difference between the Chiyav Misa Abal Machteres and the classical Chiyav Misa of Chayav Misa on Shabbos. And that is, Chayav Misa on Shabbos, although the act that you did, which is Chayav Misa, really coincided with your Chiyav Mamon, but there's no potential of you actually being put to death at that moment, because Eidim have to come, you have to go to Bezin, you have a whole process. So although there's a Chiyav Misa at the same time as the Chiyav Mamon, but there will never be a potential for that Misa to be implemented at the same time as the Chiyav Mamon. Masha Einkein, in the case of Baal Machteres, he says, it's a stronger form of Kimle, because not only is there a Chiyav Misa that coincides with the Chiyav Mamon, but there's a potential of you actually being killed at the same time that you're being Chayev the Mamun. Therefore, he says that this Rashba, this huge chiddush of the Rashba, the Kimle, is not only a patur, but it's also a Kinyan. He says perhaps that big Yisod is limited to the case of Baal Machteres, where not only is a Chayev Misa, Bishas Chayev Mamun, but there's also a potential for you actually being put to death at that time. Which is an interesting idea, especially because we're learning the sugya of Baal Machteres, that at the same time that Baal Machteres is a Chiyav Misa, to realize that it's different than the classical Chiyav Misa. Again, it's not Bezin putting you to death, it's the Baal Bayis putting you to death, as we were discussing at the beginning of the first couple of Shirim. Again, what exactly the nature of that din really is. And the last point is important to note is that, again, we didn't read the whole Rashba inside, but the thrust of the Rashba is being mechalek between two different types of kimle, right? The kimle of Chiyav Misa and Chiyav Mamon on the one hand, and the kimle of Malkus and Mamon. He basically points out that this, and it's clear from the third paragraph of Ksubas that they had two different makoros, right? The makor for the kimle of Misa and Mammon is Lo Ye Ason. The whole story of, you know, a person trying to attempt, you know, to kill a person ends up, you know, causing a miscarriage. We'll get to those sugyas soon. While in the context of Malkus, the makor is, we're discussing before, is Beis Rishayos. Basically, that Beis Din can't implement two different onshin. So on the basis of these two different makoros, the Rashba here develops that while the kimle of Nisa and Mamon works in this manner of kinyan, right, this idea of kinyan like we've been developing, and he has other nafkamina, and he says, and additionally, even in a case where you're not actually chayv Mamon, in the case of Shogig, he develops all this there. Basically, that's all by the kimle of Misa and Mamon. Again, the kimle of Misa and Mamon, which results in a kinyan, and even applies even if you're not actually chayiv Misa in the particular case. Masha Inkin, the kimle of Malkus and Mamon, which we saw in the Chasam Sofer, is much more Bezin oriented. It's all about Bezer Shayos, but Risha Achas Atamechayiv, it's all about Bezin not being able to implement two Rishayos, two Onshins. So according to the Rashba, this whole Yusod of a Kinyan is limited to the realm, to the kimle of Misa and Mamon, while the kimle of Malkus and Mammon, as we said before, is all about Beis Din not being able to implement it, but not there's actually a kinyan. So with that chiluk in mind, it's actually very important, because if you look to this Tosfos, sorry, I should have assigned it to you guys, this bottom Tosfos on Ayin Beis, Amud Aleph, is basically asking a question in the later Gemara. I'll do it inside, because I don't... Basically, the later Gemara has a Maisa, where the implication is where that Rava basically didn't even accept the money. Basically, the cases where there was like above machteres, or a person who's subject to kimle, and the person who's putter from the mamon, midin kimle, wanted to return the money to Rava. And Rava didn't accept the money. So Tosfos on the spot asks, why not? We see from other Gemaras that there's a chi, that even though kimle is a patur, there still is a chiyav bidei shemayim. So Tosfos answers, no, in this case the person wasn't interested in being yotze midei shemayim. But basically Tosfos assumes that both in the case that he proves from Bar Metzia Tzadi Aleph, in the case of Malkus and Mamon, that not only in that case is there a chiyav bidei shemayim, but also in our sugya of Misa Mamon, there's also a chiyav bidei shemayim. And therefore he has to explain, in our case, he tries to explain why there really is a chiyav bidei shemayim, and the only reason why Rava didn't accept it is because the guy wasn't interested in being yotzei midei shemayim, he's only interested in being yotzei midin. But according to this Rashba, we can give another interpretation and say that the only makor for the chiyav bidei shemayim is in the Gemara Bar Metzia Tzadi Aleph, as you'll see, which is in the context of kimle of Malkus and Mamon. So perhaps according to the Rashba's Yusod, that the kimle from Malkus and Mamon is very different than the Malkus of Misa and Mamon, you can explain that the concept of chiyav bidei shemayim is limited to the realm of Malkus, where it's all about Beis Din not being able to implement it. Because if the Torah is all about Beis Din, then yeah, you can say Beis Din can't implement it, but you're still chayav bidei shemayim. But in our sugya, where the Dam Kininu, which the Rashba thinks is a different din of kimle, where it's meikar din, you are viewed as the owner, right? Kimle grants the person the owner, so once you're the owner, there's no chayav bidei shemayim, because it belongs to you. According to the Rashba's whole chiluk between the two different types of kimle, you can explain, you can basically give an alternative answer to Tosfos' kasha and limit the chiyav bidei shemayim to the realm of, to the kimle of Malkus and Mamon, and allow it not to apply to the realm of Misa and Mamon in our sugya. Any questions? We have a couple minutes. Good? Okay.